Well, at great expense this week, we've got a preacher from a Bible college. So give Daniel a good welcome as he comes to share the word. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Before I start, can I just say that I'm here just for one reason? It's not because I'm all holy or I'm all righteous and I've got it all sorted. No. I make mistakes. I fail. I fall short of the glory of God. And I've not got it all. I haven't. But I believe that God has given me something for the church and for myself as well. So as I share the message, I just pray that it will encourage each one of us, including myself, and it will challenge us. And my prayer is that as I'm preaching, please just don't hear the voice of a 22-year-old guy who's doing Bible college. But please try to hear the voice behind the voice. And I'm just going to pray for each one of us. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and we just thank you for this day that you've given us. God, we just thank you that you've given us this opportunity to freely come to your presence, Lord. And God, I just pray and thank you for the freedom that we've got in this country to worship you openly and to just come to church openly, Lord. And God, I just pray that as we reach your word and as we open your word, I just pray that your word will penetrate our hearts, Lord, and just spread it all over our very being, Lord. And I just pray that the words will not just be words, Lord, but you'll do something in our very being, Lord, and it'll transform us inside out. And God, I just thank you for everything. We love you, we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go. Right, so if you've got your Bible, please turn with me to Mark 4. Bible on Bogotone, Marcus Cocharma Poltonola. Mark 4:35. Marcus Char 45. Let's see if it works. I'm going to try to do both of it. See if it works. Mark 4:35. Is everyone there? And in my Bible, it's got a heading on top of it. And it says, Jesus calms the storm. And I'm going to read it. And it says from verse 35, the key. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that he was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Let me read that again. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And if you read carefully on verse 35, it says, that came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. And I'm sure most of us are familiar with the story. The main principle of the story that we see is Jesus can calm every storm in our life. Am I right? That's what most of us understand through the story. And but there's something special hidden within the story. If we look at the story carefully, we see the disciples getting on the boat and Jesus has already said to the disciples that we're going to go to the other side. The other side. And this is two pinning point in the story, the starting point, and the destination. Jesus has called each one of us to get to the other side. And the greatest miracles takes place within your journey, from your starting point to your destination. And in between is the main point that counts. And within that point, we face a lot of struggles. We face a lot of crisis. And we face a loss of desperation and helplessness. And I believe the greatest miracles takes place when you're in that place of crisis, when you're in that place of struggle, when you're in that place of desperation. In Psalms 18:6, it says, "In my distress, I cried out to the Lord for help." Let me read that again. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. In my desperation, I cried out to the Lord. And you know, most of us, including myself, we're so attracted to the end result. We're so attracted to the glamorous life, and we're so attracted to the finished article and positions and all them kind of stuff. But no one is willing to pay the cost. No one is willing to go through that struggle. Same in the story of this Jesus calming the storms. We see the end result, that Jesus performing all different miracles. We've seen Jesus performing all different miracles in the Bible. We've seen lots of stories behind this story or before this story. And we've seen the end result, that Jesus calms the storm. But we don't really talk about what happened in that storm. What happened from your starting point to your destination? And I believe that for each one of us, that God is calling us to the other side. Question: what does that other side look like? Verse 36. It says, leaving the crowd behind. And I believe that in order for us to get to the other side, what's the first thing we need to do? We need to leave the crowd behind. It says in Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal to win the prize. And for us to get to the other side, if we've got a goal in our life, whatever struggle that we face, doesn't matter. Because your eyes are focused on the goal. Even in Bible college, obviously, sometimes I get days where I'm frustrated and where I feel like giving up. But I've got my eyes set on the things of God, and I've got my eyes set on the prize. That's why I try my hardest to not worry about the struggles and really press on with everything that is within me. Leaving the crowd. Do you know, in our lives, including myself, I tend to put my confidence in crowd rather than God. And how many of us, even in our lives, we put our trust in people rather than God? And how many times in our lives we've limited ourselves with the label of the crowd? How many times in our life we've stopped ourselves from doing something because we thought that it wasn't good enough? Because we thought that we won't be able to reach the goal, because we thought to ourselves that we'll never be able to reach where other people are? One thing we need to do in order for us to get to the other side, including myself, I need to leave the crowd behind. We need to leave the crowd behind. By the way, this message isn't like for all of you. It's for me as well. It's for all of us. We need to leave the crowd behind. Regardless of whatever people label you, regardless of whatever people talk about you or however they look at you, leave the crowd behind. Because if you worry about what people's going to think about you or people going to think about me, it's never going to let me move forward. Because I'm constantly thinking about what are the crowds talking about me, what are the crowds saying about me. So leave the crowd behind. Aim for bigger things. Dream big. Live big. Whilst I was in Teen Challenge, Bible College was a big thing for me. Because I didn't see myself as an academic guy. Never mind academic. I wasn't even good at school or anything. So, you know, so it was a big step for me. But rather than listening to what the crowd was saying about me, I had that choice to make. Either I'm listening to God and putting my trust and confidence in God, or am I listening to other people, what they've spoken into my life years and years ago? Leave the crowd behind. Verse 37. A furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat. On your way, when you're making that progress of moving to the other side, you will face loads and loads of storms. On my journey, when I'm trying to move to the other side, I will face loads and loads of storms. Whoever said, come to Christ and your life will be all happy-chappy, I don't know, it's never been happy-chappy in my life. It hasn't. But one thing I can assure you, there's always peace in my heart. There always is peace in my heart. The peace of God never leaves you. It's always there. But the struggles is always there as well. And the storms is always there. The storms never leave you. The struggles never leave you. That's life. But the peace of God is always within you. In order to get to the other side, you will have to face storms. The struggles that you're going through, the crisis that you are facing, the problems within your family, your work, finances, schools, exams, whatever storms. The storms in your life will either break you or make you. The storms in my life will either break me or make me. The greatest example in the Bible, Job. Talk about struggles. Blaming me, that guy was never out of struggles, was he? All the way through Bible, one struggle after another struggle after another struggle after another struggle. It was like never-ending struggle for him. But one thing that kind of challenges me is through it all, he said, my Redeemer lives. Through it all, he always said, my Redeemer lives. There was his friends trying to pour all negative stuff into his life. What are you doing in this church? What are you following God for? Leave it. But he said, no. Does it mean that I follow God because my life is good? And I don't follow God because my life isn't good? No, Job said. And similar way that challenges me, am I just worshipping God when everything's alright in my life? How will I react when I face the darkest part and darkest place in my life where there'll be nobody around me to encourage me, support me? Right now I've got my church, I've got my family, but what if church isn't there? What if the family isn't there? What if the friends isn't there and I'm lost in that dark place? How am I going to do? Am I still going to rejoice in God? Am I still going to trust in God? That is a challenge for each one of us. Are we still going to trust God? When your family's not there, when your friend's not there, when church is not there, are you still going to worship God? And the question is, are we going to allow the storms to make us stronger in our faith? Or are we going to go back to where we've come from because of the struggle? The struggle will either make you or break you. I've heard lots of stories where someone's on fire for God and they're going for God. Then something happens in their life and what do they do? It's like this, I don't want anything to do with this, I'm going back. And God help me, I don't want to fall into that category, I don't. It's so easy to preach about stuff like this, but when you're actually facing the real situation, it's different. I can just preach all day long about this, that, this, that, this, that. But the truth is, how am I going to react when I really face stuff like that? Am I really going to stand strong? Or am I going to go back? Am I really going to stand strong? Or am I going to go back? So easy to go, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. But what is happening within our hearts? Only you know, only I know, only God knows. You can play church game all day long. I can play church game all day long. But unless I truly want God and want to give my heart to God, nothing's going to happen. We can easily get transformed by the way the church looks and all that. I can go into a jumpy church. I can jump all day long. I can go into a holy church. I can act holy all day long. But unless there's a transformation in my life and unless there's a transformation and submission of my heart to God, nothing's going to change. And unless there's a submission in each one of our hearts, nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change. So are we going to allow these storms to make us stronger in our faith? Or are we going to go back to where we've come from? My suggestion would be, stand strong. I'm going to speak into them in my life as well. Whenever I face storms, I'm going to allow the storms to make me a strong man of God. And whenever the storm comes into your life, I will pray. And this is my prayer for each one of us, that the storms will make us strong if we allow it. And the storms will break us if we allow it as well. Hold on to God. Keep holding on to God. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? I wonder how many times we prayed that prayer. Don't you care? I prayed that prayer. I'm just being real. I prayed that prayer. I prayed to God knows how many times. God, are you not seeing this? Don't you care? While I was lost in that darkest life, I've cried out to God, don't you care? Don't you see this? Where are you now? The fear of drowning. What does he say? Jesus was in the storm, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? And the thing that stops us from getting to the other side is because we don't try, because we don't step out, because we're scared that we're going to drown. The thing that will stop me is the fear. If I step out, am I going to achieve it? Or am I going to drown? You're either going to achieve something when you step out, or you're going to drown. But I would rather step out and make mistakes. And even if I drown, I drown. But let's give it a shot, eh? Let's give it a shot. Keep holding on to Jesus. Verse 39, it says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. What did he say? He spoke to the winds and the waves. He spoke to the waves. And can I just say, let's start speaking life into our situation. He spoke, Jesus spoke to the wind. Let's speak into our struggles. Let's speak into our crisis. Rather than having a self-pity party. I've got that choice. Am I going to really allow God to make me in the storm? Or am I going to lock myself in my room and have a self-pity party? I want to speak life into my crisis. I want to speak life into my struggle. David and Goliath, the story. What does Jesus says? What does David says? David says, today God is going to give me victory over Goliath. He spoke first. Today. Paul and Silas, when they were locked up in prison, they didn't have a pity party saying, oh, we were going on fire for God, but then something happened, and now let's just sit here and cry all day long. No. They spoke into their struggles. They started singing psalms. They started singing spiritual songs. I know it's easy for me to like say stuff, and it's hard when you're actually facing it. But why not prepare ourselves now? So when we face them struggles, we can speak into them struggles. Job 19:25. He says, I know my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand on the earth. I know my Redeemer lives. And I want to hold on to that scripture. I want to make that scripture my life. My Redeemer lives. Even though the struggle that I'm facing through right now isn't considered nothing to what's ahead of me. Mourning and crying lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The struggle only lasts for a moment, but the eternal life is forever. The eternal life is forever. So what does this other side look like? Your destination. It's a place of victory. It is a place of transformed life. For me to really understand the love of God, I had to go through the struggle. My lifestyle that I was living, and everything that happened, it been in between me knowing God and not knowing God, was a process of making and molding. And I want to encourage each one of us, whatever struggle that you're going through, hold on to God. Hold on to God. You've heard it millions of times, hold on to God. But can I just say, hold on to God. Really, really hold on to God. In your struggle, your friends will be there. Your family will be there. Church will be there. But what if they're not there? God is always there. God is always there. And can I just say, it's good to struggle. It's really, really good to struggle. If you're not struggling, then, I don't know, you're God. If you're not struggling, then you're God. What can I say? But I struggle. I struggle quite a lot. I struggle every day. Struggle to get out of my bed. Struggle to do whatever. But I struggle. And so does everyone. Do we struggle? Yes, I suppose I'm not going to put people in there. But we all struggle, don't we? And it's good to struggle. Because I believe that each one of us, like, we've become more and more stronger because of our struggles. I've come to know God more and more in a deeper way through my struggles, through my failings, through my mistakes, through me falling over and over and over again. There's never-ending fallings. I'll tell you that. And His grace is always sufficient. His grace never runs out. Never runs out. It's always there. Never, never, never runs out. The aftermath of our struggle will define our character. The result of our struggle will show us who we really are. I can talk holy all day long. I can act all righteous all day long. But to be fair, I'm not where I should be. And I can just stand in front of you guys and just say whatever I like, to be honest. That's the fact. I can just stand there and say whatever I like. But I need to know God personally myself. I can preach all day long. But what's the point of preaching all day long if I don't know God myself? What's the point of doing whatever I'm doing all day long but not knowing God? Know God first. Know God first. And when you reach to the other side, you will begin to value your walk with God more. And you will begin to love God more. David didn't just simply become king, did he? He was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd boy. And he had to go through a phase of struggle himself to become a king. Soul chasing after him. Wow. Can you imagine that? King of England, or whatever, Queen of England, King of wherever, whatever country, let's say Africa, Nigeria, whatever, chasing after me. That'll be a hard one, won't it? But David had that. He had the king of Israel chasing after him. Talk about struggle. But through it all, he was faithful to God, and God was with him. And for David to become a king from a shepherd boy, he had to go through that storm to get to the other side, which was the king. Joseph, from a slave to a ruler of Egypt. It didn't just happen overnight, did it? Well, it did happen overnight, but there was a struggle. There was a struggle. He was locked up in prison, and there was lots of things happening in his life. There was a struggle. So within that gap, it's very important for us to hold on to God and to really allow God to really make us, the struggles to make us and the storms to make us. Verse 41, and he says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Wow. Who is this man? Even the waves and the wind obey him. The disciples looked at each other and asked, who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So who is Jesus? The Bible says, he's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the sinner's savior. He supplies strength for the weak. He saves the sinner. Well, he saves the sinner. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He's the giver of life. He's the king of kings. Jesus done something that made the disciples to ask each other, who is this man? Who is this man? And the question for each one of us and the challenge for each one of us is, what is people going to remember each one of us as? How will someone define me, who Daniel is? Live a life that will make a difference, that will influence others. I want to live a life, not just exist, but make a difference, influence other people. And let us allow all the storms in our life to be an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. I can just ask each one of us, what do you want to be recognized or known for? What do I want to be recognized as? What do I want to be known as? Tell you what, a few years' time from now, I'll be more than happy if one person comes up to me and tells me that I've made a difference in his life. And I'm sure that'll go the same way for each one of us. Wouldn't all of us be encouraged if only one people came to us and told us that we've made a difference in their lives and we've influenced them? And the choice is ours. Are we going to allow the storms to make us a strong man of God? Or are we going to allow the storms to make us a quitter, moaner, or cynical? The choice is ours. When people look at you, how will they define you? When people, if someone asks someone and points at me and says, who is this man? How will they define me? If someone looks at Martin and asks someone, who is Martin? How will they define Martin? That is a challenge for each one of us. Let us live a life that will make a difference. Let us live a life that will change this nation. The choice is ours. Let us pray. Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, there's just so much in your word that we can learn and apply into our lives. And God, I just pray, Father, that as I've just spoke your word, Lord, I just pray that this word will challenge each one of us and just help us to apply it into our lives as well, and help us to make that difference. Lord, when I say difference, I'm not saying big numbers, Lord, but I'm saying just individuals. Help us to make that difference in individuals' lives, to influence people, to change this nation, and to change the people of Doncaster, Lord, that they will come to know you. And God, I just pray, Father, that help us to be real and authentic, and not to put on any mask. Or try to be someone that we're not. But just help us to be us. And God, we love you. We adore you. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.